Well, I'm out here in the sunshine. No, it's barely sunshine. The nature is here. We got a mama robin up in the power line. He's waiting for me to leave because the nest is right by our house door. Today, there are a couple of one lesson, one sermon I got to prep for. So I don't have to record it during the actual service. I'm going to record it here while I'm going through and talking it out. And you get to hear a little bit of preparation. Now, who knows what's going to happen here? I mean, I might find something and branch off. You never know. And we have another member of the Christian podcast community that actually kind of lets us in on his Bible study. So this isn't exactly that, but you never know what it's going to turn into, right? Today I'd like to talk about what to do with the tares. Now, Jesus speaks of a parable in Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. He says, another parable put he forth, and of course I'm using King James Version. It might, I might paraphrase every now and then, but I'm using King James. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, the tares appeared also. So tares, the way I understand them, before the harvest, looked very much like wheat. So they didn't notice the tares, until everything sprang up and it was harvest time. And then you could tell, you know, or at least, you know, start to tell there was something wrong here. The questions I have for Sunday school class is, what's going on here? I think that's self-explanatory. But I do ask the question to spark and start a discussion. And you know, sometimes things come from those that surprise even me. I love a good discussion. It's hard to get sometimes in certain places, but where I'm going at Hopewell, in Carthage, Arkansas, they're really good at, discussion. They discuss with me, so I'm not by myself trying to present the lesson without discussion. So I try hard not to make it a sermon when I'm doing a Sunday school lesson. I try to include the class there. I ask, what's the representation? I know that if the people don't know the representation, it will be later in the passage, he explains it, and that's part of the lesson. But this parable is so well known that a lot of times you're going to get people that totally get the fact that the seed is the gospel, or the children, it's the children of the kingdom, is what Jesus says they are. So basically, the good seed is saved people. It's what it is, children of God, saved people. And the tares are unsaved people. It really makes me think, in the tare situation, of unsaved people that are somewhat disguised as saved people. And you will get many of these in churches today everywhere. Even good churches, you know, in the world, there are those who the gospel is good, is perfect, it's excellent. And the preaching of the gospel is good if it's done right, if it's the truth. It can be exceptional. It needs to be exceptional. God deserves that. That does not mean, however, that you won't find false converts, even among strong biblical teaching. Excuse me. So the servants, verse 27, of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. So there was a delicate situation here. He said, they're ready. Can we get the false stuff and get it out of here? He says, No, because what's liable to happen is you're liable to uproot the good stuff. And we don't want that. We want to, in verse 30, it says, Let them both go together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he says, we're going to burn the tares, but we'll wait until time to harvest. Then we'll get the tares first. We'll get them out of the way, burn them, and then we'll get the others, and the good stuff, and it'll come into the barn. And I ask a question, does this part of the parable hold any application for us? And I don't know if it's intended this way or not. I do know that we are not to be judgers of hearts. We can judge doctrine. We can judge actions. But we can't judge intent. We can't see inside somebody's heart to tell whether they're really saved or not. I mean, even saved people do things they ought not do. So we have to be careful. But if you've got heresy being taught, you'd still have to deal with that. You know, if you've got things being done that should not ought to be done, you still have to deal with that. But you can't judge the heart. And to try could cause more damage than it helps. And that was one thing I always think of when I think of the situation with the tares. And not pulling the tares out, but letting them grow together with the wheat. Now, if that was the intention of Jesus, I don't know. Because we find out later that the reapers are the angels. So, I don't know if that's a little bonus thing we're supposed to catch. Or if it's just something that's true that happens to remind us of that. Because I don't want to put into a parable, or rather, I don't want to say that Jesus is saying something in a parable that he's not. A lot of people try to read too much into parables, and it causes a big problem. However, I will say this, to try and root out a false Christian, especially if we're trying to do like the people in the parable we're going to try to do, let's just get them. Let's get him out. Let's go get him. He's like, no, you can't do that. It will cause more problems than help because you'll end up rooting out and hurting true believers, young believers. It's not something you want to do. So there's that. However, one thing we do need to notice is that the tares will be burned. Hell awaits the counterfeit Christian. But God does that. We don't do that. God knows who is real and God knows who isn't. As a matter of fact, Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, Jesus is saying this, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And notice he said, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you once, and then, you know, things went wrong. No, he said, I never knew you. Why did he never know them? Because they never trusted Christ. They were counterfeit Christians. They were fake. Now, some of them may have thought that they were real. Perhaps some of them thought they were trusting Christ, but in reality, they were trusting their works, their baptism, the rituals like communion, belonging to a certain church, maybe the fact that their parents, maybe they're relying on their parents' faith. Can't do that. You have to have your own faith. You have to trust on your own Jesus Christ. You can't ride on the coattails of anyone else. So he tells these counterfeits, I never knew you. You do not belong here. And he says what? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You're fake and you're doing bad things. Now Jesus explains the parable he just gave in Matthew 13, starting with verse 36 and going to 43. Let's read. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So they wanted to know what this meant. Jesus answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Remember, even Jesus, we're going to come back to verse 39 in a second. Remember, Jesus even said to some religious people, you are of your father the devil, children of the wicked one. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be. The end of this world, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Remember verse 7:23, when he said he would tell them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity? Here it says, they're going to take out all the things that offend and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let them hear. Who are the counterfeit Christians? Who are they? Folks, if you are claiming to be a Christian, but you are saying things are good that God hates, if you are claiming to be a Christian, but you are teaching lies, if you claim to be a Christian, but your gospel is wrong, you are not a Christian. You are working iniquity. Now, I don't give an invitation in Sunday school, but I want to tell those that are listening that we are all sinners. Every one of us. We've all broken God's law. You take the Ten Commandments, go through them. You'll find several that you messed up. And if you haven't messed them up by outwardly, you've done it inwardly. In your mind, you've thought things or, you know, considered doing things. Sin is all of us. We've all sinned. It's everywhere. Every man, as a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember one passage, I believe it's in Isaiah, says there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody's righteous. The only righteous person was when God became a person and came down here, took on human flesh, 100% God, 100% man, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross to pay the debt that your sin and mine accumulated. Then, on the third day, he rose from the dead to prove that he was who he said he was and that death couldn't stop his people. Without the resurrection, by the way, we would have no salvation. Something important to note. Jesus Christ is God. He is God the Son, and he's the Son of God, the third in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy... Well, I'm sorry, the second in the Trinity in the traditional way of saying it. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they are all God, they are all equal, but yet they all have their special roles. And there's only one God, but he manifests himself in three persons, and he can do whatever he wants, even if I don't understand it. That's okay. But Jesus died and rose from the dead so that you wouldn't have to suffer in hell, and all you have to do, ask him to forgive you of your sins. I believe if you do that, you're wanting to turn from your sin. You know sin is wrong. And you ask him to forgive you. And folks, you're not just asking for fire insurance. I mean, that's something that we definitely want. We don't want to go to hell. I get that. I'm not saying that that won't be a factor. But I am saying you truly want forgiveness of sin. If you truly want forgiveness of sin, that means you're not wanting to sin. Oh, your flesh will want to sin, but there will be a part of you that doesn't. And I think that God sparks that. Do I understand it all? No, I do not. But I know this. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts, the Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So Jesus died for you. He wants you to call on him, to ask for forgiveness, and to trust him. You do that, and he will. By the word of God, he will. Thank you.